Everyone, you've all gone quiet, so I thought I'd better make my way to the front. Good to see you all here tonight. It's a cold night, and thanks for braving it out. And it's good to see you along here for our Bible study and prayer time. Just going to open with prayer, and then we'll read from God's Word, and then look at tonight the fruit of gentleness in our series. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can gather here tonight. And we come in the name of Jesus. We come as brothers and sisters in Christ, united as one in him. And Lord, we thank you for that great privilege of being able to meet here in freedom tonight. And so, Lord, we ask that we would know your presence amongst us as we open your word, as we study it together. And Lord, as we spend time in prayer with you, Lord, we pray that we would indeed just know you speaking to us, even as we are led to offer up our prayers to you. Lord, we pray that your will be done tonight, that you would speak into our lives and change us to become more like Christ, that fruit that we've been looking at over the past number of weeks would just continue to bear fruit in our lives as your Spirit is at work. So, Lord, may you be glorified in all that's said and done tonight, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Isaiah 40. As I say, we're looking at the fruit of gentleness tonight. We're going to be looking at a few passages, but we'll start from Isaiah 40 tonight and verse 9 to 11. I hope you've been enjoying our series as Christian character, and we're coming near the end of the fruit of the Spirit. Just one more after this. But let's look at God's word here in Isaiah 40 and verse 9. This is God's word. Go on up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up, fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with the young. Amen. And we thank God for this first portion of scripture we're looking at tonight. If you like to watch nature programs, you might be aware that the crocodile is the animal which has the most powerful bite. Maybe you didn't know that, but you do now. But when it locks its jaws on maybe a wildebeest or some other animal, there's no escape for that victim, and they're dragged into the water in those mighty jaws. But yet the same jaws of that crocodile are also known to be incredibly gentle. Because whenever a mother meets her little babies, which have just hatched out of an egg, they are vulnerable, they're delicate. They're not safe on the dry land where they have been hatched from, so she has to get them into the water. And the only way to do that is to scoop them up in her mouth with those great strong jaws. But she does it so gently and carefully, protecting those which are delicate, keeping them safe and behind those sharp teeth. You see, there's great strength there, but yet she is so delicate, so gentle, as she carries them down to the water. And that's helpful, I think, as we come to look at this character of gentleness tonight, or meekness, as it sometimes can be referred to. Because so often people think that meekness is weakness. It's not a characteristic that people like to brag about. It's not something you would maybe put on a CV. Because in society, people think that, well, gentleness is not really that much sought after. It's the strongest who survive. It's those who have that bit of go in them that get on. Being gentle or meek is, well, seems like somebody's a bit of a pushover, if that's the case. But as Christians, we mustn't think of gentleness in that way. Meekness is certainly not weakness. Now, because this is actually a characteristic of the all-powerful God himself. And it's a term that Jesus used to describe himself, describe his own heart, as he perfectly showed that gentleness towards others in his ministry and throughout his whole life. And as a fruit of the Spirit in Christians and in our lives, it is a character trait that goes against that sinful nature, because when we show that gentleness to others, it really does surprise people. There's something different about our lives when we show gentleness, especially in the midst of a heated situation. So we're going to be thinking about these areas tonight. It is, as I say, the penultimate one of our series. But the word itself can be described, as one concordance puts it, as God's strength under his control. God's strength under his control. And just as that powerful crocodile does with the babies, gentleness actually shows great strength being applied to a tender situation. And I want you to keep that in your mind tonight as we're thinking about this. It's strength being applied to a tender or delicate situation. So as with the other fruit we've looked at, I think it's helpful to see that this is actually a characteristic of God himself. But there's very few instances in the Bible where this word is directly used to describe God as being gentle. One reference is in 2 Samuel 22, where it says, "You have given me the shield of your salvation, and your gentleness made me great." David was speaking there, and he again echoes that in Psalm 18, as he talks about God's gentleness. But I think Isaiah 40, which I read from in verse 11, is very helpful to give us a picture of God here, a picture of God's might and also his tenderness, his gentleness being shown together. If you look at verse 10, it says, "The Lord comes with might and his arm rules for him." There's a clear declaration of God's strength here. And the reference to his arm adds to that, because you can imagine somebody rolling up their sleeves as a sign of strength in action. And this action here has brought about a great victory, as God has said to bring about a reward here. So you have this description of an almighty God taking action. Then alongside it in verse 11, we read this: "He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young." If you're a sheep farmer, I'm not sure, maybe some sheep farmers, there's Karen's got a few sheep, or maybe you know sheep farmers. It takes a lot of strength to catch a fat ewe. It takes a lot of strength to lift them over and do their feet or check them or whatever you need to do with them. But whenever it comes to lambing time, the farmer does all that they can to keep the little tender lambs alive. If that ewe has lambed out in a wet night, the farmer will go and he'll pick up the little lamb in his arms or her arms, and they'll lead the mother and the lambs into the warmth of the shed. The strong farmer will gently dry the lambs. They'll massage it to get the circulation going. They'll spend time trying to lift its head to try and get a suck of milk from the mother. You can't force it, or else it'll just be stubborn and fight against you. You have to gently lift it to help that little weak lamb. You see, we often think of God's strength, his might, his power, but it's helpful to recognize that in his gentleness, God shows that tender, loving care to us, just as a strong shepherd might help a little helpless lamb. You see, God knows those times in our life when we need that gentle touch, when we need his gentle care to lead us and guide us in the way that only he can. He knows the right words and the right actions that will gently nudge us in the right direction, that will gently bring about his purposes in our lives as he does his work. But it is so amazing to think that the God who had the strength to create the universe and everything in it, the one who continues to sustain it, shows his gentleness as he stoops down to tenderly care for people like us. But it is difficult for us to grasp just the magnitude of God's strength and the amount of gentleness that he actually has. But whenever we focus on the life of Jesus, we start to see how that is lived out in humanity. We see this character of gentleness being shown. In the Gospels, we hear a lot about Jesus' life, who he is, what he has done for us. We think a lot about his death, his resurrection, all that passion narrative. We have detailed records of his ministry, his powerful miracles. We have wonderful accounts of his teaching and the crowds that were drawn to him and all the rest. But I wonder if I was to ask you to think of a verse in the Gospels where Jesus opens up about his own heart. We talk about David being a man after God's own heart, but can anybody think of a verse where Jesus is recorded as saying something personally about his own heart? Nobody any ideas? Well, turn with me to Matthew 11, chapter 11, verse 28. Familiar words to many of us. And here we see Jesus speaking about his very own heart. It says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You see it there? Jesus says that he is gentle and lowly in heart, or meek, as some translations put it. Dane Ortlund wrote a book called Gentle and Lowly, The Heart of Christ for Sinners and Sufferers, and he picks up on this statement of Jesus. And this is what he says. I thought it was very helpful. "In the one place in the Bible where the Son of God pulls back the veil and lets us peer way down into the core of who he is, we are not told that he is austere and demanding in heart. We are not told he is exalted and dignified in heart. We're not even told he is joyful and generous in heart. Letting Jesus set his terms, his surprising claim is that he is gentle and lowly in heart." I think this is a surprising claim, because I'm sure if you were asked to sum up the heart of Jesus, gentle and lowly would probably be further down the list. Maybe it wouldn't even be on the list at all. When he speaks of the heart, it's not referring to his emotions here, but it's that which is at the center of his whole being. All he does, all he says, his thoughts, his actions, it's that control center. And if we think about what Jesus is saying here in Matthew 11, he's calling those who are laboring, those who are heavy laden, to come to him. You can almost sense the empathy that he has for those in such position. Empathy for those who are weighed down, the empathy for those who have various struggles and hardships. And in the context, this verse is mainly referring to the burden that religious legalism had weighed heavy on these people, that legalism that was forced on them by the Pharisees to keep all these regulations. They were trying to struggle to earn salvation by keeping the law, but they realized how pointless that is. And so as their soul is in turmoil, Jesus gently calls them to come to him, and he will give eternal rest for their soul. And if they take on Jesus' yoke, as it says here, it's not a burden, it's easy and light. It's a delight to be joined to him, because in him they have complete forgiveness of sin and that peace that we're all longing for. But as they're called to come to Jesus, those who are weighed down, Jesus says, "Learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart." Learn from me. He wants them to listen to him. He wants to look at his life and to see how he says things, how he speaks. He wants them to see his gentle and humble actions being lived out before them. Maybe you need to hear these tender words of Jesus tonight. Maybe you're burdened in some way. You long for that rest that only Jesus can offer. And as you hear those words tonight, "Come to me," and you hand the reins over to Jesus, well, he will carry that burden for you. He will be by your side as you go through that. Of course, this character of Being gentle and lowly does not mean that Jesus is weak. He's not feeble, as we've already heard. It doesn't mean that he can't speak firmly whenever it is necessary. Because just before this statement, in verse 21, he spoke very sternly against the people. He said, "Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida!" Because he was making clear that those who don't come to him, those who reject him, those who don't receive him as Savior and Lord, they would face his judgment, just as he spoke on those places. And we see Jesus' great power and authority in his ministry. He turned the tables over in the temple courtyard. He calmed a raging storm. He cast demons out of those who were possessed, and he even called Lazarus out of the grave after 4 days. But in his gentleness of heart, his power, his strength that was shown in those times, well, he replied delicately to many tender situations. He was gentle as he came alongside the grieving Mary and Martha. He showed gentleness as, remember how he met the adulterous woman at the well in John 4. And although he spoke the truth very clear to her, he revealed her sin. He did it in a loving way, a gentle way. See, Jesus was gentle in many ways. He welcomed little children. He said, "Suffer them not to come unto me." He welcomed them. Matthew 12 quotes Isaiah 42 in reference to Jesus, and it says, "A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not quench." You see, in his strength, Jesus was able to apply it gently and tenderly in a way that was applicable to the situation that was before him. Those who were vulnerable, those who were at the point of breaking, just like that reed, as they were maybe under a burden, under a difficult time in their life, Christ came along and he gently restored them. And he can do the same for each of us here tonight. Because those who are wearied here, those who are burdened under the weight of sin, can come to him, can have eternal rest for your soul. As we trust in Christ, we can know that. As we trust in all he accomplished for us in his death and in his resurrection, we have that rest for our soul, that eternal rest, but we also have that peace as the gentleness of Christ comes to us in whatever situation we're going through. So as God has that attribute of gentleness, and Jesus has shown that perfectly throughout his life, as his followers, we ought to see that being lived out in us also, shouldn't we? And so as the Holy Spirit continues to work in us, we also want to have hearts that are gentle and lowly. Somebody was asking me if I'd bought that 590 that was mentioned in last week, but no, I didn't buy it during the week. But it got me thinking just about how something so rough is being restored into something beautiful, and I used that last week. But I'm sure you've heard testimonies of people whose lives were pretty rough, maybe even violent in the way they went about their life. Maybe that describes you before you came to know Christ. But when God saved them and brought them to faith in Jesus, there was a clear and a remarkable change in them. I remember hearing a testimony of a man, I think it was in uni days, he was a bodybuilder, he was a bouncer at the clubs, and you want to have seen the size of him, he was massive. He clearly had great strength, and you wouldn't have messed with him. But as he shared his testimony of how the Lord saved him, and there was a clear change in his life. He still looked incredibly strong, but as he spoke, there was a gentleness came across. There was a tenderness even in his voice. As he spoke with great passion, his desire for those in that place that night to come to know Christ, he gently spoke, even though he was this great, powerful man. Before the Apostle Paul was converted to Christ, he was someone who was incredibly violent, someone who had been very heavy-handed against the Christians. But as he wrote to the church in Corinth, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, 21, he said this, "What do you wish? Shall I come to you with a rod or with the love and a spirit of gentleness?" And in 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 1, he said, "I entreat you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. You see, in his old self, as Saul would have seen the things before him, the problems that were in front of him, he would have took out the rod, as it says here. He would have had the whip and he would have beat them into shape. He would have ironed out those problems in a second with that rod, I'm sure he would have thought. These issues of sexual immorality, the disunity, the things that needed to be addressed. But that's not how he went about the work there. He said he wouldn't come with a rod, but he came imitating Christ. He said he seeks to correct them in the spirit of gentleness. He appeals to them by the meekness and the gentleness of Christ, as it says there. And we maybe see things in the church, or we see things in the lives of those around us. People who say they're Christians, but they're really not living as Christ would have lived. There's sin that is apparent and it's continuing on, just as the people in Corinth were in that day. But how do we address that? Do we address that? Do we maybe point the finger at them and say, that's awful what they're doing? Do we hurl abuse at them, or do we get aggressive with them, bringing out the rod, so to speak? We maybe don't intend to do that, but sometimes when we start to point the finger, it can quickly escalate. Proverbs 15, verse 1 says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. And it can be very easy to stir up anger, especially when we use harsh words. In love, we do want to hold each other accountable, and it's good to do that amongst the body of Christ. We want to honor Christ in the way we do that, though. We want to seek to be like him in the way we handle things. We want to do that with gentleness. And Paul brings this across time and time again in his letters. I was amazed how many times he actually referred to gentleness as he handled different churches and the situations that were going on. Just listen to a few of these. Galatians 6 and verse 1, he says, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Titus 3 verse 2, speak evil of no one, avoid quarreling, be gentle, and show perfect courtesy toward all people. Or Ephesians 4, we read, with all humility and gentleness and patience, bearing with one another in love. Remember, gentleness is not weakness, because it takes incredible strength to be gentle whenever there's confrontation with others. But as the Holy Spirit continues to work in us, that gentle and lowly heart of Christ will become more apparent in us as we grow in maturity. Of course, there are times when it can be really hard to show gentleness. It can be difficult not to say that harsh word, especially when someone's trying to undermine you, undermine what you believe, trying to rub you up the wrong way. Very hard to be gentle to someone who's like that. Maybe you've that experience with people at work who are just always on at you, and you really are getting riled up, and you just want to give them what for. Maybe there's those in your family who are not yet saved, and they're on your back all the time, and it's so hard to be gentle with them. But as we try to reach others with the gospel and witness for Christ, a spirit of gentleness is crucial. It really is. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. It's up on the screen hopefully as well. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. It's a great verse on how we are to share our faith, what we believe, the hope we have. It says there, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks for a reason for the hope that is in you. So we're to be prepared to make a defense of the hope that we have in Christ. You're maybe thinking, well, I maybe don't know if I could do that very well. It's not saying provide a whole systematic theology of the doctrines of the church or what you believe. No, it's not saying that, but it's saying a hope of what you believe, what you confess in Christ. And if you're a Christian, you should be able to explain that salvation, the work of God and Christ that has saved you and brought you to know him as his Spirit worked. And you should be able to explain that. But this defense, as they try to bring this before those who are not saved, it's not like that in a boxing match where someone is trying to get one over their opponent. We're trying to get the right phrase.